Well, March 21st on Hulu, you know what time it is. Freaknik premiere. Shout out to my frat brother, Maurice Hobson, one of the commentators. You know what I mean? Mr. Black Mecca. But nevertheless, that morning, my boy Gary G texted me. He said, Dave, I saw you in Freaknik. You're famous. Send me cash at me five stacks, and I won't snitch. So when I saw that text, I got on my phone, put on Hulu, checked out Freaknik, the documentary. I was late for work, and I was nowhere to be found in that documentary. So I texted my boy, said, yo, Gary G, your extortion game is suspect. You know what I mean? But nevertheless, people were nervous. Well, black people were nervous. Because why? You don't want to be, you might, your employer, family members, your kids, religious leaders might see you getting your freak on at the Freaknik. So as you know, it started in the 83. DC Metro Club, shout out to the DC Metro Club. In fact, the DC Metro Club used to rent buses, take you from Atlanta to Howard's homecoming. You know what I mean? But I was a regular attendant of Freaknik from 87 to 93. White Park, Washington Park, Piedmont Park.
Yeah, 1990 was my first one when I drove from school in Alabama and met up with you in Atlanta, and we was kicking.
And we know what it's all about. Yeah. The singing, the dancing, the drinking, the turn up, the traffic, hours on 20, Peachtree. You know what I mean? But that was definitely Freaknik. Now, I'm going to put you on game. If you're a filmmaker out there, some other activities you might want to consider. The Black Greek Picnic in Philadelphia started July 1975. My boy Beeks, I believe it was 90 or 91, yeah, came up, drove to Atlanta. Then we drove the 14 hours to Philly.
Yeah.
Met our homies, kicked it for the weekend at the Black Greek Picnic. And again, it started out with mostly Black Greek-led organizations. Then you tell your non-Black Greek-led college friend to show up. And after that, your homies are in the school, they show up. Same thing with Freaknik. First it was the AUC kids. Then you tell your homies in HBCUs come on through. And then you tell your friends who aren't in school, they come on through. And then boom, it becomes a massive phenomenon. Cultural phenomenon, economic, brought in $20 million to the city of Atlanta. But if you watched it, Olympics 96 brought in, what, $1 or $2 billion?
Dave, you figure the first couple of years, 1990, 1991, I used to leave on Friday night from Montgomery, Alabama, and I'd drive to Atlanta, get into Atlanta, drive straight to your apartment on Ralph McGill Boulevard in that building, park, chill, no problem. 92? I got into Atlanta. There were cars everywhere. You see license plates. Michigan, Illinois, Massachusetts, California, Texas. People were coming from all over the country.
Here's another documentary. So the one in Philly, you get your boy Will Smith, producer, put up the money, shoot interviews, Schoolie D, why not? Bahamadia, another rapper in Philly, and you got a documentary. Here's another one. Labor Day weekend, Hampton, Virginia. Shout out to Hampton University. I went there Labor Day 88 and 89. And 89 was the year when they had the big with the police, Public Enemy, put that in the video. My homies from New York came through. We hooked up that weekend. I saw De La Soul. So here's another documentary. Get Missy. Get, what's his name, Timberland, all them Virginia folks produced that documentary. I'll put you on game. These were all the Black college turnups. And it's the similar story. They start, get big, some say out of control. Obviously, you know, sexual assault was a major issue. Okay, police come in, there's issues, shut it down. Now, there's still some stuff left. I was online, saw the Kappa Beach Party in Galveston, Texas.
Where?
Now, I think because where that's located, Texas. That's a far journey for a lot of students to come from across the South and the nation. But nevertheless, that one is still in effect. But the Freaknik probably ended by the mid-90s. The Labor Day weekend after 89, that kind of shut down. The Black Philly Greek Picnic closed for a minute. Now it's back to its original roots. Mostly Black Greek letter folks are attending the event. But nevertheless, we can make documentaries on those as well. So I'm putting y'all on game. There's two projects. Labor Day weekend in Hampton, Virginia, and also the Black Greek Picnic in Philadelphia. Time to start documenting these histories and just show, you know, what they call Black joy, people turning up. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, these things don't become long life traditions for Black college students.
That's true, Dave, as they should be, you know.
But thinking so, but we know a tradition that's going on right now. March Madness, folks. Basketball, college basketball, games on weekends, right? 3-4 games a day. Men and women, CBS, TNT, True TV, ESPN, ESPN2. This is a heaven for those that are into college hoops. But what we noticed this year, a whole lot of upsets on the men's sides. Particularly the SEC schools, Kentucky, gone. Auburn, out of there. You see what I mean? Florida lost.
Well, you got Purdue from the Big Ten, and then you got UConn from the Big East. They were two of the best teams in college basketball all year, so most people probably had them in their Final Four bracket. But nobody expected NC State, an 11 seed from the ACC, and Alabama from the SEC to be participants in the Final Four as well. So college basketball as a whole is very represented.
So the question is, how did Calipari and Kentucky lose? What is happening? Well, I'm going to break it down for you. So we remember when Calipari took over Kentucky, he became the one and done king. People like John Walls, Devin Booker, Carl Anthony Towns, Anthony Davis, come to Kentucky, play 1 year, go to the league as a lottery pick. But like everything else, everybody starts doing the same. Duke, Carolina, everyone's now becoming a one-and-done school. People were skeptical of it. I'm not going to have some kid coming in for a year, but obviously when you want to win, you have to adapt. So the coaches adapted to Calipari's one and done. But what we discovered was schools like Villanova getting like people like Jalen Brunson, you see what I mean, Josh Hart,
Vincenzo, they're all Knicks now.
Those guys are 3-year players.
Yeah.
And we see that with their, they won 2 or 3 national championships without going one and done. So Calipari's at a crossroads. Do I start a team of one-and-doners, or do I start looking for the kid who's going to give me 3 years? Which means what? Not the big name in the AAU circuit, didn't go to IMG Academy. He's the 7th person off the bench at some elite high school. You see what I mean? But the kid's going to give me 3 years, which means what? By the time he's a junior, he can be a mentor to the one-and-done kids. This is what's happening in college basketball. Also, there's just more talent. More people are playing. More people are getting engaged with skills and coaching and dieting. You can go to YouTube and get skills, personal coaching. So there's more talent out there in the game. This is how Yale can beat Auburn. Why? Yale are getting guys that used to want to go to Stanford, Vanderbilt, and Northwestern. But at those schools, you might come off the bench or see no playing time. Go to the Ivy League, you're going to get some playing time And those guys are not one and done. They're doing 4 years. Some kids are doing 5 years. You got kids, grown-ass men. I think the center from North Carolina been there forever.
Look, while one and dones are a factor, it's also the transfer portal. I mean, look at a team like NC State that's in the Final Four. I think they have like 2-3 graduate transfers in the starting lineup, a junior transfer, the big man in the middle, he's graduating. So what you end up having is 23, 24-year-old men taking on 18-year-old boys. And depending on what type of style the game falls into or what you're playing, it could be the difference between winning and losing.
So that experience matters. You can be an elite 18-year-old, projected lottery pick, but you play against a grown-ass man at 24, 25. You see? So Calipari's been there 15 years, won national championships, 4 Final Fours, and the last 4 or 5 years, the team has been horrible in the tournament, but he still has a job. Tubby Smith only won 1 championship. He was out of there. If they get rid of Calipari, right, they owe him $33 million. Sounds like, remember that football coach, what's his name, Jumbo Fisher, $76 million. When Texas A&M let him go.
Well, Jimbo, but with Jumbo money.
So what we see now in college basketball, the dynasty days are over. Because one and done, or do you become a program where you're getting 3-year guys? In other words, when they come out of high school, their pro potential is just not there. You don't see it. And that's what Kentucky has to do now, right? Or hit the transfer portal. Get a couple of old guys. You see what I'm saying? Older guys who may not make it to the league, play in Europe, who knows, but can anchor the younger guys. And I think that's the dilemma, right? We are Kentucky. We don't pick up third string dudes. We don't pick up guys who don't have pro potential. We are Kentucky, Adolph Ruff.
Well, NC State just beat Duke in the Elite Eight, right? And I tell you the makeup of NC State's team before. While Duke has one of the best recruiting classes coming in next year, so they're sticking to the old model, the original model of recruiting young players. Duke doesn't get a lot of transfers.
Now you're telling me get some off-the-bench kid who I never heard of because he can stay 3 years? And we're assuming he's getting better each year. That's what we don't know. But nevertheless, the game is changing. You have to adapt. Look at Nick Saban. NIL has just changed the game. He's used to getting all the players and winning every single year. That's the expectation. Now with NIL, what's happening? Other talent is being purchased at other schools. And the kids that you recruit, if they come in, and let's say I don't like the tight end coach, right? I don't like so-and-so. I'm transferring to get more money somewhere else. Nick Saban doesn't have the control he used to have, which meant what? When you went to Alabama, first of all, these scholarships are 1-year deals. So if I don't like you for some particular reason, you're out of here. Or if you want to transfer, you had to sit out a whole year and couldn't play. So now I got you, son. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to put your ass on the bench. You're not working out. You're kind of lazy. Well, now that's dead. If you don't like how you're being treated, I'm out of here. I'm going to go to UGA and get more money. This is why Saban retired. He's 72 years old. He's not going to change. It's the younger coaches who know what? Kirby Smart at Georgia. They're going to learn how to play the system, how to use transfer portals, how to use NIL. It's an expectation. But when you 72, been doing it for all these years, where it was okay when Alabama was given the top prizes, now all the schools can compete in NIL. Let's keep it 100. In other words, it's too much. It's too much change, too fast. And that's just part of life. You get older, right? You don't want to change stuff. You're used to routine. That's too much work. Is John going to stay? Is Akeem going to leave? Did I offend so-and-so? How much I had to pay X and Y? They're asking me how much I'm getting paid. I don't want to deal with all that. I want the old model. I came to your crib. You were in awe. I gave you something. You came to Tuscaloosa, and that was it. If you had a problem with me, you kept it to yourself. Period. But now if you have a problem, I'm out of here. Whether it's playing time, I don't like the campus, or guess what? I want some more NIL. Period. So Alabama doesn't have the monopoly on the championships. Again, they really expect to win every single year. That's just not happening in the new culture of what? College football. You see?
Yeah, and you think that's why Saban said to himself, I'm done. I quit. Then
listen, son, I had enough. I'm done. It'll probably be in the booth, be on TV, complaining all year, talking about back in the day, nostalgia. Well, there ain't, like my man Chi says in The Wire, there is no back in the day. You see what I mean? It's what's going on right now. And this is what we have in college football. So again, like I said before, everything is constantly changing. So if you did your bracket, it got busted up. Yale, Oakland, right? Grand Canyon. Because again, there's more talent, and it's an age thing, right? These schools have players that are going to play 3 to 4 years because you know as well as I do, none of them cats are going to the league. While the elite programs are run by first year and second year players. You see what I'm saying? That's what's happening out here. Great entertainment, not good for your bracket, but again, it's changing. So Calipari has to adjust. So we'll see. He hits that transfer portal, bring in like 2 or 3 guys who are like fifth-year seniors or fourth-year seniors, a couple of those guys who can start and manage and mentor the one-and-done guys. Because the one-and-done guys probably soon they'll come in and just dominate, but what they find out, college ball is not high school ball. There are other athletes who can ball, who can play. You see what I'm saying? And every now and then, you got to take a couple of classes, do some homework. It's a different vibe. And, of course, the distractions, social media, NIL deals. You got to send out tweets. You got to do this and all that as an NIL obligation. That's why you need some old heads in there. Who are, look, I'm not going to the league. I might, who knows? I get some NIL, but I'm not, like, you know, evaluated at $10 million. But I want to help Kentucky win a championship, and I want to be a role model because, A, I might be thinking about coaching eventually. So there's something in there for me. You see what I mean? I'll let the young boy shine at 20 a game. But my job is to organize, be a team leader, and get us over the hump. So we'll see what happens next year with Kentucky. But definitely, the last 2 years, their tour has just been trash. Garbage. Unbelievable. Just losing in the first round. Ada Frupp is turning over in his grave. Hardcore Kentucky fans are going nuts. But your boy Calipari still has a job. You see what I'm saying? But how much more is this going to last with him constantly losing early in the tournament.
It's the Freaknik of college athletics. While we remain fixed on pathetic aesthetics, Amazon instead of UPS and FedEx, and the money's in the medicine for type 2 diabetics. Your NIL is 100 to nil. Millions of dollars, plenty pockets to fill. Keep it moving because the world won't stand still. Grab the bag, you and your girl can Netflix and chill. It's the madness in March, for marching for matters. Arch stiffer than starch, tell me who is the baddest. It's all about the psychology to stay in your column. Why the issue of biology in relation to stardom? It's the ideology of Gomorrah and Sodom. Stipulation was simple, manipulated your mental. This is the Church of Scientology located in Harlem. But are we better off for everything that we've been through?
You know, Beats, this podcast game, we started 2017. Podcasting is through the roof. I'm going to give your boy Bill Simmons, when he left ESPN, started the podcasting. I mean, he's not the first one, but nevertheless, everybody has a podcast. Up in Smoke, your boy, Steven Jackson, and Matt Barnes, KG Certified with KG, and Paul Pierce, The Truth, LeBron, and your boy JJ Redick starting one. And just recently, Mark Jackson started one. Got fired by ESPN. Still won't be called in for a coaching job. So guess what? I'll start a podcast. Why not? So everybody else got one. Draymond Green has a podcast. So everyone has a podcast. Everyone has a voice. Everyone has something to say. Everyone has opinion. And that's what it is in America. That's democracy. That's what it's all about. But we also know it's about clicks. And I got this new click takes. You make takes to get clicks knowing they make no damn sense, but it doesn't matter. Shannon Sharp, Club Shay Shay said, what's her name? What is her name? You know what I'm talking about. Taylor Swift is near Michael Jackson. Come on, son. You know that's not true. The King of Pop was the King of Pop for a reason. Just look at the audience. You can't be the King of Pop if you're missing a major demographic. And I can say with confidence, many African Americans don't listen to Taylor Swift. When you watch a Michael Jackson concert, your grandmother, your mother, the kid is at the concert. Black, white, Asian, Latino, right? The biggest thug in the 80s was banging out to Michael Jackson. That's why he's the King of Pop. Dancing, the videos, you name it. But nevertheless, he says, I have an opinion, I can say that. And he's right. Here's another one. Tiki Barber, former running back of the New York Giants. Remember him? Played about 10 years, retired. They won the Super Bowl. His first day on the job, he disses Eli Manning. Why? To show that he's objective, he goes ham. He tried to get a job before the sports. He wanted to do like news. Brother, it just doesn't work that way, son. Now he's doing sports on the Fan.
I can't stand Tiki Barber, man.
You want to do like what host like to the Today Show, like what your boy's doing now.
Yeah.
Strahan,
yeah.
And the other brother on CBS.
Yeah, Nate Burleson, who started out on Good Morning Football on the NFL channel.
Tiki Barber says when Saquon Barkley took a 3-year deal with the Eagles, with a major signing bonus, he says he's disloyal. Come on, that's a click take. Why? Because he knows the Giants are only going to franchise tag him. Franchise tag. He had no other choice. What is Barber talking about?
That's just clickbait. That's all he's doing. That's
Barkley made a rational decision.
Absolutely.
Like all those other running backs who took these 2-3-year deals and get the guaranteed money up front. God forbid something happens, they walk away with that. What is Barber talking about? That's a click take. Why? Because the next day, it was all over the media. If he said, that's a smart move, as a former running back, I would have done the same thing. There are no clicks, because why? It makes sense. The click take. Takes to get clicks, to blow you up, to get subscribers, to get streams. That's what it's all about. You see what I'm saying? A click take is like me saying Yale is going to win the national championship. Maybe that's too extreme, right? Folks, no, that's not happening. But you get what I'm saying. You make a tick, you make, excuse me, a take that's just makes no sense. Barkley made the best move for him by going to the Eagles. Now the Giants are jammed up. No Barkley. You got Danny quote unquote Dimes coming back from an injury. The Giants are screwed. No receivers. The offense is trash. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
But Tiki Barber was a click take. Club Shay Shay, click take. That's the nature of the pod because there's so many. How do you get someone's attention? You see? Tons of them out here. Billions of pods, millions, not millions, a lot of podcasts. How do we get someone to subscribe? First, you have to catch my attention. How do you do it? By making some sort of click take. And then boom, put on and then bang. Here's another one. Joe Button had Candace Owens on his podcast. You know Candace Owens, the right-wing, extreme anti-black person. You know what she's going to say? She says it all the time, but what Button's going to say is what? We want to show both sides. Nikki Haley was on Charlamagne Tha God show. We want to show both sides. Let both sides speak. That's what's wrong. You see what I mean? So the reason why I know about Button having Candace Owens is all over the news. Am I going to watch it? No. Is it going to change my opinion of her? No. Does it matter? No. It just puts it out there. Does it get her fans to turn into the Button Show? Maybe. Maybe get a few more listeners that week. You see? That's how this thing works. Under the guise of what? Showing both sides, right? We're open to all ideas. That's what Joe Rogan does. Rogan gets anybody, anywhere, anytime. You see? Cornel West, right-wing people, open conversation. It's a brilliant strategy because, A, it masks his political perspective, which we don't know, but we might assume he's all over the place with the vaccine, this and that, whatever. But nevertheless, he has one of the most successful podcasts, and he interviews everybody. So in other words, I'm open to talking to anybody I agree with, disagree with. It doesn't matter. And he has the right to do that. But he also knows, like Charlamagne's other folks, they are very influential. So even though they're speaking by themselves, what they say carries weight with their loyal listeners, regardless of their area of expertise. That's what makes it dangerous sometimes, right? I'm going to get my information from Joe Rogan, who's an MMA guy, but he's going to talk about science. I'm going to get my voting information from Charlamagne Tha God, but he's a radio DJ, not a political scientist, but it doesn't matter. You see, that's what's happening with all these podcasts. But at the podcast for your punk ass, we don't do click takes.
Yeah, that's why nobody listens.
You know what I'm saying, Beaks? You know, we don't make preposterous statements just to get a click. We out here dropping truth to power. But as you can see, for many, the truth doesn't make money. What makes money click takes. So I'm going to drop five of them for you in the next few minutes. And maybe people will start clicking on these takes. So I gave you one. Number two, the Mets are going to win the World Series. There you go, Beaks.
Yeah, I just clicked. Don't
number
worry.
Three, the Giants are winning. Are going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not clicking on that.
Number four, Morehouse College is going to go 10-0 this football season.
All right.
And number five. Number five. Let's see. What should number five be? Let me think of something. Give me 5 seconds. One, two, three. Oh, I got number five. Yours truly is going to win the Powerball this year. How about those takes? All right? So let's see what happens by the end of the year. If any of them come, any of them come through, please spread them to all your folks, all your social media friends. Those are five click takes, and I'm out.
And that's the show, folks. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and subscribe to the show on iTunes. Because we're going to bring you another podcast for your punk ass as soon as it's humanly possible. Because without you,
the dark brown shades of my skin,
there would only be us.
Only add color to my tears.
Oh, oh.
That splash against my hollow bones. That rocks my soul. Looking back over my false dreams that I once knew, wondering why my dreams never came true. Is it because I'm black? Somebody tell me, what can I do? Oh, Lord. Oh, something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black? Yeah. In this world of no pity, I was raised in the ghettos of the city. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Mama, she worked so hard to earn every penny. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord. Something is holding me back. Is it because I'm black?